The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Now, as it's a lovely sunny day today, it must be Leaving Cert and Junior Cert coming up in just a few days' time. It all starts on Wednesday, and we thought today would be the day to talk about dealing with the stress and anxiety, not just if you are one of the candidates, but if you're a parent as well. Helen Vaughan, psychotherapist with Coast Counselling in Malahide and Maynooth Counselling and Psychotherapy. In some cases, can it be the parents who are worse than the children?
I think in some cases, if the children aren't anxious, the parents become anxious on their behalf, which is probably not helpful because everyone can pick up on each other's anxiety. So I think if you've a teenager who's not anxious, or maybe you think they're not doing enough, and that might be your own anxiety about your own Leaving Cert or exams somewhere, you know, that I think sometimes we worry too much on their behalf.
So you project your own previous experiences onto the children?
Sometimes, yeah. You know, if you found your Leaving Cert really tough, or if you're someone who's anxious anyway, you know, maybe you do project it onto your child thinking they should be anxious. If they're not, to me, that's a good thing. And if they are, to me, that is also a good thing because it's normal.
Now, shouldn't they be anxious though? Surely you shouldn't be going into what might be a defining exam of your life without caring about it, without being worried about what it might throw up.
I think you've gone too far the other way. The defining moment in your life is almost too much anxiety. Like, yes, it's important, but it's not the be all and end all. There's so many options now that I think it's fair enough to be nervous, to be anxious, to be stressed about an exam and a series of exams because they are hard. It is difficult. You know, so it's trying to maybe use that in a positive way and use that to work hard and do your best, but try not to freak yourself out and feel scared or feel panicked.
Okay, so what are the tips for the next few days until you get into the flow of the exam starting from Wednesday?
Well, I think it's trying to have a set of tools of your own that work for you. And I'm going to give you about 10 different things that you can do. And you pick one or two each that either work for you or work for your teenager. And the simplest one, the one I always start with, is breathing. You know, so it's about just trying to slow down your breathing, count as you breathe in and count as you breathe out. And even start with count to four as you breathe in, count to four as you breathe out, just to slow down your breathing. What that physically does in your body is it calms your body. It tells your body that it's okay. I'm not in danger. I don't need to be stressed. I don't need to be panicked. You know, that it triggers what's called your parasympathetic system, which tells your brain that it's okay. There isn't a predator coming to try to kill us. We can relax. So breathing is a really good technique. You can do it anywhere in your exam, on the way to the exam, anytime.
I'm laughing at your next one. Help your teenager identify and talk about their feelings. I can tell you're at a different stage of parenting to me. Damn hard to get the teenagers to talk about their feelings, particularly about things like this.
But I counsel teenagers and I do get them to talk about their feelings, but I know it's a different room and it's a different role and it's a different thing.
Absolutely. You're not a parent in a situation like
teenagers.
That.
But there are a lot of teenagers who want to talk. Okay, maybe not a lot. There are some teenagers who want to talk. And I guess it's hopefully creating a space for them that they can come and talk to you, that they won't feel judged. They'll feel that there is space for their feelings. You're trying not to problem solve for them. You're trying to just listen, validate their feelings and just say, it sounds like you're feeling stressed, sounds like you're feeling sad, sounds like you're feeling worried, you know, just validate what they're feeling.
What about routine, particularly when it comes to food and sleep? Because if you've been into a routine of going till 3 o'clock in the morning studying, it's a bad one, but can you break it now? Or what if you suddenly over the weekend and you suddenly start to pulling the all-nighters to study?
I'd say some people will do the all-nighters and maybe that works for them. They like going right up to the end. For most, I would say routine is important. And if your exams are starting at 9:30, it's better to try to sleep early-ish the evening before so that you can get enough rest, so that you can get up and have enough time to do a bit in the morning if you want to, figure out how you're getting to your exam, what you're going to eat, what you're going to do first thing. So routine is good because regular sleep is good. Regular exercise, if you can fit it in and manage a walk or a swim or a cycle or something. Taking breaks, you know, sometimes it's doing about 25 minutes of study and then take a break for 5 minutes and get up and move around. Because I think teenagers should be moving around. So if you can take regular breaks to get up and move, eat good food, get your family to feed you. You know, it's just trying to...
And put this all in the to-do list as well.
To-do lists are good. If you're feeling overwhelmed, like there's often a time where someone says, I've too much to do and I don't know where to start. That sitting down with that teenager and breaking it down into pieces, doing each one, ticking it off as you go, can feel quite satisfying that you're getting it done. So to-do lists can be really good to help just break it down into smaller pieces.
What about setting realistic expectations?
See, I think this is a huge one. And when you said before, this is a defining moment of your life, that's...
I was tongue in cheek. I didn't really mean it like that, Helen.
But a lot of people do say that. And I've had lots of teen clients whose teachers from fifth year are saying, this is huge. This is massive. You need to be worried. You need to be focused. And I think...
Fifth year, is that a starting transition year with that? Sorry, I'm only joking.
I think TY is still a bit of a doss. But I think it creates this huge expectation that this is the most important thing and it defines your whole life. So it's trying to have expectations that are manageable, that aren't too high, that aren't saying, I want to get 7 H1s or whatever it is. You know, that you do your best, know what you can do, you know from the mocks roughly where you're at. You know, so just try to be realistic. Try and identify your strengths. What are the subjects you're good at that you're happy about? What are the ones that you find tougher? Focus on the ones that you're good at.
You also have to treat it as a marathon, not a sprint, which is interesting because I think for a lot of people, their own experience might be, particularly if they have a late exam a few days separate from the rest, that they can tail off and sort of lose the momentum as they go.
Yeah, and I did find it hard when you had 2 exams a day, often in different subjects. You know, that it is a long haul that goes on for 2 or 3 weeks and it's trying not to peak on day 2 and then feel exhausted by day 4. You know, that it is a long haul. You've been working hard now for months, probably weeks anyway, and try to just slow and steady, keep going, take the breaks, do your 25 minutes of study, take a 5 minute break, take breaks in the evenings, go to bed at a reasonable time. You know, just try to allow yourself to keep going for weeks rather than burn out after day 2 or 3.
And I see your next point is control the controllables, as they say in sport. But I want to jump on to the next one, understanding the physical signs of anxiety.
And I think this is a big one that I do with teenagers a lot and with adults, in fact, which is knowing what anxiety does to your body and what it feels like. And it can be different for different people. Some people get a funny tummy. They'll need to go to the bathroom a lot. Some people will get a tight chest, or they'll tighten their jaw or their head or their shoulder muscles. You know, different people hold their tension in different places. And if you can understand that physically the reason it's doing that is so that you can run away from a predator and not get eaten by a tiger, that's why your body is sending all the hormones to your arms and legs so you can run for your life or fight this tiger, whatever it is. That's why you get shaky arms and legs. That's why your stomach goes offline. That's why you feel lightheaded, because all the blood has gone to your extremities to run for your life. So if you can understand the reason my body is doing that because it thinks there's a predator, when actually I'm afraid about my Irish exam tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and if you understand it and you realize that actually that's a fair enough response to my exam tomorrow, if I can do some breathing, that can alleviate the symptoms of anxiety and it can just help you get in a better spot.
Your ninth point is work on your thinking. What do you mean by that?
So that's if you're saying to yourself, this is the most important exam I've ever done, or I'm going to fail all my exams, or I'm terrible at Irish and it's going to be awful. Those are examples of like negative thinking.
Banish them.
It's not even banish them. Notice them and try not to believe them. If you're catastrophizing, so you're expecting the worst case scenario, black and white thinking, I'm either going to get a H1 or I'm going to fail. You know, there's a range of options in between those two that you could do. Am I fortune telling? This is what's going to happen and it's going to be awful. And then you worry about it and then it doesn't happen. And what was the point? Or being demanding of yourself. I have to do this. I have to get all these grades. I have to get this course. You know, it's like, I would like to get these marks. I would like to do my best. I would like to get this course. But not being too demanding or too anything. Trying to be reasonable to yourself and kind.
And then jumping onto that, affirmations, you call them. What do you mean by this?
So these are brilliant. And it sounds like gobbledygook, but it does actually work. I've tried it myself. It does work. So your brain, if you think negatively, it trains your brain to keep thinking negatively. If you think positive thoughts, even if you don't believe them yet, it trains your brain to think more positively. So whatever your brain does, it will continue to do. So affirmations are coming up with either useful or positive phrases to say to yourself and just keep repeating. Find one or two for you and keep repeating them until you believe them. And you will. So things like, I'll take my time and I'll do my best. I believe in myself. I'm calm and I'm focused. I have studied hard, I'm smart and capable. I would like to pass my exams. I'm grateful for where I am today. You mightn't believe the last one, but the other ones, it's just trying to come up with ones for you. I'll do my best. I'll try to stay calm. You know, I've studied hard. I'll do my best. You know, you're just trying to keep repeating positive things to yourself until you catch up and your body believes it.
Okay. Helen Vaughan, a psychotherapist from thecoastcounselling.ie. Thank you very much for being with us. And if you are one of those who is sitting an exam next week, our very best wishes to you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.